As Pastor John prepares to come and read our scripture this morning and message with us, I invite you to turn in your bulletin to the prayer of illumination and pray together with me. Almighty God, in you are hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Who all was here for the brunch? Oh. Y'all are not allowed to go to sleep while I'm preaching. But I just want to let y'all know, I feel your pain. We are starting a new sermon series this week. We have just wrapped up Right Side Up that has taken through most of the summer. And we are switching gears into Faith Works for the next 6 weeks. We're going to be working through the book of James. The book of James is one of my favorites because he doesn't pull any punches. He's very direct and sometimes hurtful. I get along with James. James doesn't always get along with me, though. I love James. James was the younger brother of Jesus. There in some of the early Gospels, it talks about how he wasn't necessarily the strongest believer in Jesus. I can only imagine him being the younger brother, some of the jealousy, some of the disputes, some of the not quite understanding that might have happened. I don't know how many of you have siblings, but I can get James. I have two. But then later on, in the book of James, he comes out standing firm, standing strong, and professing that faith works. Telling us how we need to live because he finally got it. So that's what we're going to be talking about the next 6 weeks, is faith works. And yes, it does have a double meaning. Faith does work, but also faith creates works. So as we work through the book of James, I invite you to pull out your Bible, turn to James, which is right behind Titus and Hebrews. If you get to the 2 Peters or the 3 Johns, you've gone too far. So it's near the end of the book. We're going to start with James 1, 1 through 18. James 1, 1 through 18. If you don't have your Bible, there's one on the hymnal shelf, or you can pull out your phone, open up your Bible app. Amen when you get there. Oh, y'all are so quick. James 1. From James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered outside the land of Israel, greetings. My brothers and sisters, think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. After all, you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let this endurance complete its work so that you may be fully mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Whoever asks shouldn't hesitate. They should ask in faith, without doubting. Whoever doubts is like the surf of the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. People like that should never imagine that they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded, unstable in all their ways. Brothers and sisters who are poor should find satisfaction in their high status. Those who are wealthy should find satisfaction in their low status, because they will die off like wildflowers. The sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass so that its flowers fall and its beauty is lost. Just like that, in the midst of their daily lives, the wealthy will waste away. Those who stand firm during testing are blessed. They are tried and true. They will receive the life God has promised to those who love him as their reward. No one who is tested should say, God is tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They are lured away and enticed by them. Once those cravings conceive, they give birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the Creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. So, contrary to popular belief, when you become a preacher, God does not speak words into your mind that you just repeat out. As much as I would like him to do that sometimes, it doesn't happen. So, when preparing for a sermon, there's a little bit of work involved. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's just a struggle. Because to be honest, I get overwhelmed. I mean, it's hard sometimes when you don't feel like reading the Bible to sit down and read the Bible. It's hard sometimes to pray when you don't feel like praying. Sometimes it's hard just to get up and go to work because I'm just tired. I mean, this world puts a lot on us. There's a lot that we have to deal with. I fail miserably when I read the scripture sometimes. I can't tell you, I bet everyone in here who's asked me about work has heard me say 4 years, 10 months. Because that's what I get focused on. I have 4 years and 10 months before I retire. So instead of recognizing what I'm doing, that's all I focus on. I know that people have asked me or told me, it must be nice getting to work all the concerts down at the wharf. And I say, no, I hate it. But I mean, I've got to hear Keith Urban and Jason Aldean and Miranda Lambert and all these other pretty good bands. But all I can think about is how much I hate it because I don't want to be there. So when you read a scripture like this, it can be frustrating. Consider it joy when faced with trials. Really? Really, God? Consider it joy. How am I supposed to do that? I like to listen to music in my office sometimes, and I have a ton of, all I listen to is Christian music. I have a ton of songs. And there's this song by Jermaine Edwards, who was, I think he's Jamaican. I listen to all kind of music. He kind of a Caribbean island Christian singer who sings nothing but biblical words. I think all of his songs, he draws straight out of the Bible. He's a really, really neat singer. But he has a song called It's a Beautiful Day. And it just came on in my office the other day when I was trying to balance everything and trying to get focus in on this sermon. And it just struck me as, this is something that we need to talk about. So it starts out, say this morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror. And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever want to act too high and mighty, because tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, and I thank you for rain. Lord, I thank you for joy, and I thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Don't fuss and fight. We've got one life, so let's make it right. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. What would it look like to be able to face life like that? To get up and say, I'm here. Everything still works. May not be like it used to, but it's still here. It's a beautiful day because somebody didn't wake up. What would it look like to truly understand this verse? Think of the various tests you encounter as occasions for joy. I went through a lecture conference, went to a conference this past week about leadership. And this speaker came in and he talked about why it's so hard for people to transition and become good leaders, and why is it so hard to affect change in other people. And he brought up this point. He said, in our country, in our society, we have kind of cultivated and grown kings and queens. Think about that. We have kind of turned ourselves into kings and queens. So think of yourself driving down the road. You're in your car, listening to some good music. Got a little Casting Crowns or Jermaine Edwards or some good Christian band on the radio, and somebody comes flying by you and cuts you off. What have they just done? They have committed treason against you. How dare they invade your world, right? They have just committed the ultimate offense of treason. And obviously, anybody that commits treason should die. I get it. But we do that in all areas of our life. We have grown accustomed to this idea that we are the king or queen of our own world. We deserve what we want. Everything is ours. It should be my way because I'm the king of my world. And when things don't go our way, when somebody interjects themselves into our life, when somebody or something happens that isn't what we wanted, it's treason. Hang 'em high. You can't say that without saying High Plains Drifter, right? That's how we approach this life now. That's the culture that we live in. That's what we've kind of turned ourselves into. James is speaking directly opposite to that, saying anytime something happens in your life that challenges you, consider it joy. We want to be the king and queen of our life. We want to be the master of our own. And in doing so, we forget, we try to take the place of, we put ourselves in the shoes of the one true king. The one person, the one being that can truly give all things, that gave us life, that has given us the opportunity to be here with him. We rob him of his kinghood. We rob him of the ability to give us good gifts. We work so hard to get everything we want. Everything we desire. And it can all go away in a flash. When the sun rises and its heat scorches the grass, the flowers fall. The beauty that it built on its own falls. Because at the end, there's one king. There's one giver of life. And he's given us this life. We try to blame him. We try to blame him when things don't go our way. We say, God is tempting us. He's tempting me. He's trying to make me fail. God is not like that. I love how James points out God is not tempted by any evil. Man, so often we want to put it off on God because we don't want to take responsibility that it's our own desires, our own hearts that are full of evil, longing for that control, longing for that kinghood or that queenhood, longing to take life by our own hands and say, we have all we need. Make no mistakes, my friends. Make no mistakes that the only giver of good gifts who fills our lives with blessings, he is the true king. So next time things don't go your way, next time just can't go there. We've got some older people here that have moved from other places. I was going to say, next time that person from Michigan cuts you off, but I might get in trouble. Next time you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you want to yell out your window, treason! How dare you? What happens if we begin to see these acts of treason as opportunities to find joy in the life God has given us? Instead of screaming out, kill them! Hang them!
Go back home.
Go back home. Yeah. Instead of screaming any of those things, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to be here and now. To have a chance to live a life you have given me. Because when we're tested, when we begin to see joy in the life God has given us and not complain about the little things like work, like bills, like kids, like family. When we can find joy in the life God has given us, what we find out is that we begin to move into a life of faith. Understanding and trusting in God. Trusting that we do not rule our own lives, that we are not the kings and queens of our own world, but that we serve the one true King who is. And we begin to live fully into faith that says, my life belongs to my God. And what we find is that faith works. Our lives change. Our attitudes change. Our outlook changes. Faith works. And understanding that God is our King, God is with us, God only gives good gifts, we begin to see new life. Because faith works. So instead of living life upset, living life looking for treason, let's try living life believing in the joy that God promises us. and we'll find ourselves fully mature, lacking in nothing. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of life. Lord, you have given life to each of us here, breathed in your Spirit who lives inside of us, created in your image to live life to the fullest. But Lord, we live in a broken world. We live in a world that's full of sin, full of greed, full of power, full of self. Lord, we wrestle with you all the time trying to take control of our lives so that we can be the ruler of our lives, deciding what we deserve, deciding what we want, hunting, crucifying any of those that defy us. Lord, we don't want to be immature. Lord, help us to open our eyes. Help us to live into the faith that you called us to. Lord, help us to live understanding that you are the only true King. That we are here not by our own will, but by yours. And that we have the opportunity and the joy to live in the world that you called us to, so that we can experience all of the blessings that you have for us. And Lord, as we begin to change our focus from looking for treason to looking for joy, Lord, help us to mature, to grow, and to live fully, lacking in nothing, because we know you give good gifts. Each and every day, every breath we take, you give us good gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.